and he will be speaking on the addition of Floridone and Bolgard to ExtendFlex cotton herbicide programs.
All right. Good morning, everyone, and thank you for that introduction, Mr. Glenn. Today I'd like to talk to you all about the use of Floridone in cotton. So in 2013, a consultant survey was published in the Mid-South where Palmer amaranth was listed as the most problematic weed. Now, this was not a new issue in 2013 because in 2001, Morgan and others actually found that a single Palmer amaranth per 30 foot of row can cause up to 15% yield loss. And ultimately, our problems with this weed stem from herbicide resistance. So in the mid-90s, glyphosate-resistant crops were released, as everyone already knows, and this allowed for multiple post-applications of Roundup to control the problematic weed. And with this over-reliance on Roundup, ultimately, we did lose this mode of action. And also in the late 90s, ALS-inhibiting herbicides were released in cotton. And as we saw with our glyphosate resistance, we also did lose this ALS mode of action. Now, at this time, we did not have any other post options available. However, since then, two new technologies have been released, but growers at this time were forced to use residual herbicides to suppress emerging weeds. And as we saw with our post herbicides, we did lose two of these four modes of action, with the most recent being PPO resistance. So just to give you a little bit of background on PPO resistance and how we use PPO inhibiting herbicides in cotton, first I would like to point out that areas where we have confirmed PPO resistance at this time are actually highlighted on this map by the orange counties. So the way we're using these herbicides in cotton is actually that Palmer amaranth emerges once soil temperatures reach around 65 degrees Fahrenheit, whereas we plant our cotton in soil temperatures closer to 75 degrees Fahrenheit. And what this does is it allows for a window where that problematic weed can emerge prior to getting in the field and planting our crop and applying our pre-residual herbicides. So what growers were doing from around 2006 to just here recently is they were actually coming in 14 to 7 days prior to planting and applying Reflex to suppress these emerging weeds to give them time to get into the field and plant their crop. And then also they were heavily using Valor as a burn down and a lay-by option. And these herbicides were not only heavily used in cotton, but they also became the backbone for soybean herbicide programs after glyphosate resistance. And as we saw with our glyphosate, this heavy use of this mode of action did cause to two confirmed resistance mechanisms. So what is Floridone and how can it help us solve these issues? Well, it's actually a different mode of action to cotton, a group 12 pigment inhibitor, which is applied to the soil prior to the crops and weeds emerging. Once our crops and weeds emerge and we receive adequate soil moisture, the herbicide is then taken up through the roots and the shoots of the plant. Now, I'd like to point out at this time that these plants are a little bit larger than what you would expect at the time of this occurring. However, I've blown them up on this slide so everyone in the crowd can see what's happening up here. So anyway, back to what I was saying about being taken up through the roots and the shoots of plants. Cotton actually at this time will exhibit its tolerance to the herbicide due to the fact that it's able to contain the herbicide within the roots and the shoots, whereas a susceptible species such as Palmer amaranth will actually translocate the herbicide throughout the plant. And what this does is it prevents carotenoid biosynthesis in the plant, which in layman's terms works as sunscreen for a plant. And with this occurring, we have photooxidation and the prevention of chlorophyll, which gives us a bleaching effect, as you can see, and ultimately will result in death of this plant. So Floridone is currently sold in cotton under three different trade names, being Brake, Brake FX, and Brake F16. And with all this herbicide resistance occurring, in 2012, Norsworthy and others published 12 ways that we can manage this resistance. And one of those ways that they listed was actually to incorporate multiple effective modes of action. And the easy way that growers can do this is actually to apply a herbicide premix such as Brake FX, which uses Floridone and Flumetron, or Brake F16, which uses Floridone and Fimesafin. However, in areas where we do have confirmed PPO resistance, Brake F16 would not give you multiple effective modes of action, therefore you would want to lean more heavily on your Brake FX.
So with all that in mind, we created the hypothesis that brake products would provide increased control of herbicide-resistant Palmer amaranth. And our objective for this study was to evaluate brake in combination with other herbicides used in cotton for control of this Palmer amaranth. We set our trial up as a randomized complete block design with six pre-herbicide treatments, with the first three being our brake products, and the next two using brake plus Diuron in the first one and brake plus Ingenia in the second. And then finally, we had a Cotteran plus Caprol treatment, which we used as our standard to kind of confer back to of what growers might be doing. And then all of these herbicides were applied at a 1x rate at 15 gallons per acre using a Bowman Mudmaster traveling at 3 miles per hour. Our plot sizes were 4 rows by 30 feet in length, and we had 4 applications at each location, in which we had 2 locations, with one being the Lawnman Cotton Research Station and the other being the Roar Agricultural Research Station near Watson, Arkansas. So just to give you a visual of what we actually did collecting our data, we came in at planting and applied our pre-residual herbicides. And then we came back 18 days later and actually took a visual weed control assessment and made a Liberty application of 29 ounces per acre. And the reason for this Liberty application was actually that fluridone requires a lot more soil moisture than what we would typically see with some of our traditional herbicides. Therefore, it's activated later, so the weeds could have emerged prior to getting activation of our fluridone. So therefore, at this time, we had received enough soil moisture to activate our fluridone, so this allowed us to pretty much wipe the slate clean and further evaluate our residual control that we would see from these herbicides. So then, 6 weeks after these herbicides had been out, we actually came back and took another visual weed control assessment, and then we did collect yield at the end of the year. All this data was subjected to ANOVA using Jump Pro 13, where we considered site years a random effect and separated our means using Fisher's protected LSD at an alpha level of 0.05. So looking at our first bit of data here, 18 days after our treatment, to go ahead and set this graph up for you, on your x-axis you have your herbicide applied, and then on your y-axis you have percent control ranging from 0 to 100, with 100 being complete control. Yellow stars that you see in this graph actually represent a significant reduction in a level of control observed from our highest level that we had. And as you can see here, brake and Cotteran plus Caprol were our two treatments which were significantly reduced with control. However, if I would have shown this with letter separation, you would have seen that brake and Ingenia was not different from our highest level of control that we saw or our lowest level of control that we saw. So I'd also like to point out that Cotteran plus Caprol was our lowest level of control numerically that we did observe. And just to show you what that looked like in the field, here on the left side you have your untreated plot, and on the right side you have your herbicide applied plot. And looking at brake specifically, as you can see, it's a relatively clean plot at this time. However, there is one weed in the center of this plot, which I've highlighted with a red circle just to make it more obvious for y'all. When we compare this to our brake FX plot, we see that it is completely clean, and the reason for this is actually probably the addition of the flumetron in brake FX, which is activated earlier and is able to suppress the weeds until that we get enough soil moisture to activate our fluridone, where that becomes the driving force in this residual control. When we compare all this back to our Cotteran plus Caprol plot, which I did say was our lowest level that we saw, as you can see, it has 3 weeds present, and it is our worst plot at this time. So when we came back 4 weeks after these herbicides had been out, or 6 weeks after these herbicides had been out, nearly 4.5 weeks after our Liberty application, as you can see, surprisingly, we do have very high levels of control in all treatments which incorporated our brake products when compared to our Cotteran plus Caprol treatment, which only had 60% control and was our only significant reduction in control at this time. So to show you what that looked like, once again, our brake plot first, as you can see, it is a relatively clean plot. And when we compare that to our brake FX plot, which is also very clean, but if you remember back to that first picture I showed you of this plot, we didn't have any weeds present at that time, so therefore we probably didn't need that Liberty application in that plot, whereas our brake plot did need the Liberty application to receive this level of control.
And then the final one I want to show you is our Cotteran plus Caparol plot, where, as you can see, is heavily infested with Palmer amaranth, and we do also have some broadleaf single grass emerging in this plot. And the final bit of data I'd like to show everyone today is actually our yield data. And so I'd like to remind you that these were not full season herbicide control programs. Therefore, our yield is a little bit lower than what you would expect from a normal cotton crop. However, I just put this up here so that we could further evaluate the residual control that we saw with our break products. And as you can see, our break FX and our break plus Diuron and our break in Ingenia were not significantly different from each other. And these are our only ones which do incorporate multiple effective modes of action. So if you remember back to our hypothesis where we hypothesized that multiple effective modes of action would provide higher control. I'd also like to point out that break FX was our highest numerical control that we saw at this time. So what does this mean and what can we draw from this research? Well, Floridone is going to provide us with lengthy residual control of Palmer amaranth, as we saw up to 6 weeks after it had been applied in the field. And also, Floridone in combination with other effective modes of action is going to also provide higher control of Palmer amaranth over that single mode of action, which we saw with just our break or our Cotteran and Caparol treatment. Therefore, we do fail to reject our hypothesis. And this research is not entirely new, because in 2015, Hill and others actually found that Floridone applied pre did provide higher control of Palmer amaranth over some of our traditionally used herbicides in cotton. So taking this back to the grower and telling them what all this means. Well, with this lengthy residual control that we're seeing, we have the possibility of less herbicide applications after we apply our Floridone. And also, as we saw with our yield data, incorporating multiple effective modes of action, we do have less potential for yield loss. And then finally, we need to tell our growers about this new break products and get them on farm and get more use of this product, because it is a very effective different mode of action that growers are not used to using. And some future research that I'd like to see done with all this would be actually to evaluate those full season weed control programs, more specifically to determine the timing and need of those additional applications. See if maybe we can cut out one or two applications to save our growers money by using these products. And with that, I'd like to thank my major advisors, Dr. Tom Barber, Dr. Jason Norsworthy, as well as my fellow weed science grad students for helping me with this research, and I'll take any questions. Yes, sir. So the question is, what I think is keeping growers from using more break, like I said. And additionally, break has a higher cost up front to some of our traditionally used herbicides. However, I think it probably will cut out some post applications, which will cover up for the additional upfront cost. So I think, you know, one outweighs the other. Are there any more questions? Yes, sir. Yes, sir. So the question is, what were our rates, and with all the PPO resistance occurring in Arkansas at this time, do I think that growers have to use Floridone? And so to answer the first question, we applied a 1x rate of all the herbicides back to university recommendations. And in regard to using Floridone only, there are other options. But as you saw with our Cotteran and Caparol, which is pretty much our standard in Arkansas at this time, Floridone did provide better control even 18 days out than we saw with that standard. So I think it would be a better option, but no, it's not the only option. There are other available options. So the question is that I said it took more moisture to incorporate the Floridone. So actually, at our Mariana location, 18 days up to when we applied that Liberty application, we received around 2.5 inches of rainfall. And then at our Aurora location, we received about 4 inches of rainfall. However, you don't need that much. Typically around anywhere between 0.5 inch to 1 inch is going to give you activation of your fluoridone.